The Penn State chapter of the American Association of University Professors is holding a panel discussion on academic freedom at 2:30 Friday in the Carnegie Building Auditorium on the University Park campus. WPSU's Ann Danahy talks about what academic freedom means with Michelle Rodino-Colicino, interim president of the American Association of University Professors at Penn State, Michael Barabay, Edwin Earl Sparks Professor of Literature, and Cynthia Young, head of the Department of African American Studies.
Michelle, you'll be moderating a panel discussion on the topic of academic freedom later this month. Why now? Did anything in particular prompt it?
Yes, well, actually, the AUP has actually received an uptick in reports of targeted harassment of faculty for research, for things that faculty teach in the classroom, and for things that faculty are saying outside of the classroom. And this has been having a chilling effect on academic freedom, and also, of course, has included threats to faculty members, sometimes including threats of physical violence.
So Michael, you're going to be part of this discussion, too, and the issue of academic freedom has come up about courses that professors are teaching as well, in particular courses about race and society. One course at the University of Wisconsin is titled The Problem of Whiteness. Another one at Yale is The Construction of Whiteness. And legislators and other people are weighing in on this. Do you think that's fair for other people to weigh in on it? Or how do you think the discussion should go?
Is it fair? It's uninformed is what it is. So I wanted first to bring up those examples, partly because, as Michelle says, this has been an uptick in assaults, verbal or other or threats to professors. On one hand, it's nothing new, but the volume is new. This is a Trump effect, pretty clearly. And it also is diagnostic that most of the attacks have been involved with courses concerning race. Gender and sexuality also, the Middle East, but these days, mostly race. The course title I gave you, called The Problem of Whiteness, caused a bit of a stir. It was on the right-wing noise machines outrage list last year. It got some Wisconsin legislators threatening to defund the university. And if you go to the homepage of the course, if you go to the professor's course description, you'll see that what kicks it off is W.B. Du Bois' famous line from The Souls of Black Folk, "How does it feel to be a problem?" Followed by Richard Wright saying 40 years later, there is no Negro problem in this country. What we have is a white supremacy problem. There's nothing wrong with that course. It is, for better and worse, as American as apple pie, and more white folks should be aware of that black critical tradition that says there is no Negro problem, as it used to be called. There's a white supremacy problem. And in fact, the course went quite well. My argument about all this is that what people don't understand about academic freedom is it's not the same thing as freedom of speech at all. It actually has to do with expertise. You have been trained in the study of a subject, which is why a professor's comments about this might matter more than a student's. Professor Young over here has been working on white nationalism lately. She's an expert in it. She gets to say what she's learned, and she is actually licensed to do so in a sort of professional way, and that's very different from general First Amendment speech.
If we're at a public university that receives a lot of state funding, though, isn't it fair for the legislator to take a look at something and say, you know what, I have some issues or I have some questions, I have a difference of opinion? Isn't that part of academia? And
to a point, yes, of course. I mean, this is a public university with a public mission. It's a land-grant university, and if in fact people were doing things that crossed a line, either in disciplinary terms or in political terms, that should be brought to people's attention. That doesn't mean that the taxpayers get to call the tune. It's not a democratic institution in that sense. If 90% of the people of Pennsylvania believe in astrology more than astronomy, we are not going to change our course offerings as a result. It is not democratic in that sense. So there's a real tension here, especially public universities, between their democratic mission to educate and the kind of expertise that is required to make that happen.
We'll go over to a question for Cynthia. So as Michelle was saying, the AAUP has said faculty can be targeted for topics they cover them or how they do that. Do you see this as a problem at Penn State? Have you heard from faculty?
I definitely have heard from faculty. I would say it's probably been more low level in the sense that they get, you know, an anonymous note, or they get on their student teaching evaluations, they'll get, you know, comments that say, you know, this professor talked too much about, you know, white supremacy or talked too much about gender discrimination, et cetera. So you definitely see it in that way. And even though they're kind of low level, they actually do have a very large impact, because our student teaching evaluations are one of the things that determine whether we get tenure, whether we get promoted to full, whether we have successful reviews. So it does have an impact. And studies have shown that faculty of color and people who teach courses that talk about social justice issues, particularly race, tend to have lower teaching evaluations, because students often, especially in predominantly white institutions, don't like to be challenged.
And one last question, we'll put this one to Michelle. We've talked about it a little bit, but specifically AAUP has an initiative right now, One Faculty, One Resistance. Could you just talk a little bit about that?
Yes, so the AAUP at the national level has realized that we have to do something and that we actually can do something, so that they've launched a campaign asking college campuses and faculty across campuses, both as individuals and as campus chapters, to come together to mobilize and basically to defend each other's academic freedom and to defend academics who are being targeted. There are so many resources that will both raise awareness and give pointers as what you can do to mobilize, what you can do to defend specific individual faculty who may be targets at your campus. And there's even financial support at the national level. If you are a target of harassment for what you research, for what you teach, or what you say outside of the classroom, you can actually apply for a grant for your legal defense.
Yes. Just to, again, play the devil's advocate, I can hear someone saying, well, here are the faculty member coming together and putting up this group support, getting financial backing for it, when they're just fighting against people who are just trying to express their own opinions and have free speech by identifying faculty who are promoting their own views.
If that were true, there would not be a need to mobilize collectively, but that is not what's happening. What's happening right now is, in half of all these cases of reported harassment to the AUP, half of these faculty are being threatened with physical violence. They're being threatened bodily harm. They're being threatened. Their families are being threatened. And so this has gone beyond just a case of one point of view against another point of view. And this has a widespread chilling effect. So this work that's happening to come together to mobilize is really in support of academic freedom, and ultimately is in the spirit of freedom of speech, where everyone should have a chance to express their opinion, and faculty who are experts in their area should, in fact, be able to go forward in their pursuit of the truth for the common good.
Michelle Rodino-Colaccino, Michael Barabay, and Cynthia Young, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.